Again, we'll start with chapter 3, verse 1. I'll read it first. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was made known to the sons of men as it was not made known to sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the effectual purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know that the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Short little chapters, but got some good stuff in them. Got some keys in them. You need to see to unlock your understandings. In this first verse, when we go back, Paul says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that word prisoner means a bound slave, a bound prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Paul knew his purpose. Okay? He said, for this cause. He's telling you, this is why I'm bound. Not for my own purpose, but for the purpose of the Gentiles. Correct? He had knowledge of what he had to do. So why would you not think it be important for us to find out what our purpose is? There's a purpose for us, and we need to find our purpose. And Paul had it revealed, but how did Paul have it revealed? Sure, but I'm saying, how did he have? There's something I'm looking for. And how about it? How about an intimacy?
Well, I agree.
A relationship.
He was struck blind on the road to.
Yeah. Well, that was a physical experience. Yes, he was.
Well, I mean, that's the part, you know. Yeah. Think about it. If that happened to everybody, you know, it puts Paul in a different light altogether.
Well, I think he knew there that he met God, but I'm talking about what his purpose was. To know his purpose. After a while,
he was in the desert, and he didn't learn it from the other apostles. He learned it from the relationship with Christ. But
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So he had the relationship, and there's where you figure out and the understanding, comprehension of what God wants from you as an individual. See, we can't say, you're supposed to sweep the church and you're supposed to be a greeter and you're supposed to park people in the parking lot. That's not your purpose in God. There's a purpose for you in your life, and the only way you're going to have it is by spending time with him. And Paul had those years in the desert. And he said, once I come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, I what? No longer conferred with flesh and blood. That don't mean he never talked to anybody. He didn't go to somebody, hey, what's this mean? He went and talked to the Father about it. He talked to the Spirit of God within himself.
He didn't ask their permission.
Would you say that was confidence?
No, that's why he disputed with Peter.
Because he had confidence in who he was. He knew something, and that's where we have to be. It's not, I mean, hey, anybody can be wrong. I can be wrong like anybody else. But all you have to do is show me I'm wrong. And I'll be thankful for you to show me that, you know, if I'm wrong. Don't accuse me. Just show me my error.
He learned obedience to the things he saw.
Absolutely.
Just like we do.
Just like we do. No difference. But Paul really knew what he was, and he got it through his relationship and his intimacy with Christ. So do you see where we have to have the same thing? Okay. And he says in this next verse, if you have heard of the dispensation. Well, first of all, the dispensation is really stewardship or oversight. So he had the oversight of the grace. And what is the grace? The divine influence in the heart of man and the reflection into her lifestyle. So Paul had a stewardship over top or oversight of giving this grace to someone else. And so Paul realized what he had, the grace that he had received. He was killing people. Come on. He was a murderer. And God said, you're the man, Paul. You're the man. I have chosen you. You can do all things through me. Anyway, but that this stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul said, to you. What's he telling you in that statement? It wasn't for Paul to hold on to, was it? Everything God gives to us is to be passed on to someone else. That's the purpose, see? If nothing else in your life, your purpose is to receive all you can receive from God so you can give it to someone else. Whatever terminology you want to do, it's the same thing. You're paying it forward. If God give it to me, then I need to give it to somebody else. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. But see, we have to be a little bit selfish in receiving first. I have to want everything I can get from God. You have to have this desire in you to want everything that God has for you. If you have that, he said, you know, if you ask God, what's he going to do? He'll give it to you liberally, doesn't he? So all you have to do is ask God. But there's people say, well, there's no cost, just ask. It's not that simple. There's a little bit to it.
Yeah, you get what he wants.
Yeah. But under his terms.
Yeah.
You'll get what you ask for, but under his terms. So don't think it's just a name it and claim it. There's a little more to it than that.
Well, I always thought he'd give you the desire of your heart.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll give you the desire of your heart, but he wasn't going to... That's not like saying, I have a desire for a great big mansion. Right. That's not the desire of my heart. He's going to put the desire in your heart. That's what he's giving you, the desire of your heart.
That's the whole point. Yeah.
And when he gives you the desires of the heart, is actually...
Not to get a new Cadillac. No. It's to get new desires...
for him.
Holy desires toward Father, not
yeah,
to
absolutely
change the desires of our heart.
He'll give you the desires of your heart so that you'll desire, and when you do, it all it is a desire to have more of him. Mm-hmm. So when you do that,
the intimacy we were talking about.
Right. And he gives it to you, so it's nothing that you can crow about. Look what I got. It was a gift. Yeah. You know. Verse 3. That by revelation, by unveiling, just something God showed to him, he made known to me the mystery. Now this word mystery is a Greek word mysterion, which means to reveal something to you, but at the same time keep it secret. Kind of like these clubs they have, you know, these organizations, they give you something, but you can't tell anybody else, it's just for the people in the club.
Masons.
That's just one of them, one of many. But it's something like that, you know. But if he reveals it to you, but it's still revealed to it's still shielded from everybody else. See? That's why it's called a revelation, this mystery. It's given to who God wants to have it now. Later on, things will change when it's his timing. But right now, he wants certain people to have it. That's just the way he does it. He said, as I wrote before, in a few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand. And that word may understand is not really right. You will be able to comprehend. He says, whereby when you read, you'll be able to comprehend by this mystery. Once you understand and comprehend this mystery, you'll be able to understand when you read. He said, you will be able to understand what?
My knowledge
or my understanding is what the Greek language actually says. You'll be able to understand where I understand. And isn't that the purpose of a teacher? To give you everything that I have in understanding. I want you to be able to understand where I am. And maybe you can grow on before me, beyond where I'm at. Hopefully, every teacher would desire that he would have students that would go beyond where the teacher is. You know, I've fulfilled my purpose. I've got you up here. Now you can go on. See?
Wouldn't that be true to loving them?
Sure it is. Absolutely it is.
But not just in it for me, myself.
No, it's what can I do for anybody else? See? And that's what people don't understand. They think it's... And that's what's wrong with the church system. If you sit and listen today to all the people preaching and all the people teaching today out of this same book, it's I, me, my, and mine. It's not about what can I do for everybody else. It's about look what I've done. Look how smart I am. Look what I know. And that's an arrogant view of looking down at everybody else, isn't it? Because God sees us as just one. He loves us all. Some of us just have different responsibilities is all it is. And look what he said. You can understand that you'll be able to understand or comprehend my understanding in the mystery of Christ. That's pretty important that he would write a letter about this mystery. It's pretty important. It says, which in other ages or other generations was not made known to the sons of humanity, as it is what?
Now revealed.
When's it revealed?
Now.
When you just read it. To his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, or through the Spirit, or by the Spirit. So, he's saying, there's people that I have, apostles and prophets, that know this stuff now. It's not to everybody, but he said, to my apostles and prophets now. Doesn't he say that? And what is their job?
To teach others.
To pass it on, give it to others. Not to keep it selfishly for yourself and look, say, look what I got, look how smart I am, but to give it to everybody else so that we can all be on equal ground. See, in God, there's no pride involved in God. There's no hierarchy in God as far as one's better than the other. And that's what people can't understand, because in the natural way of thinking, if I can act better than you, then I'm better than you. That's the way the natural thinks about it, isn't it? But see, actually, we're all the flesh is evil. All that fleshly thinking in everybody's mind, it's the same. Just because they go to church, they think it makes them better. You know, if going to church would make you a better person or a Christian, then parking my truck under the carport would make me, or me walking out into that carport where my truck is, would make me a truck, wouldn't it? Well, I'm in the same position as a truck. So wouldn't that make me a truck then, under their way of thinking?
That's that mind-boggling thing they told them, that if you come in that outbuilding, you are a better person.
If you come there, you're a good person, and God, but give us all your money while you're at it.
But why do I act like that? You shouldn't act like that.
Well, there comes the condemnation, see? There comes the condemnation, because there's no one can live under the law, can they? And if God forgave everybody for all their sin, all their missing of the mark, and he fulfilled that law, there's no more law, what need is there for condemnation?
Well, you just come in the building and you keep your mouth shut and you just keep bringing the money and just go ahead and teach a Bible study.
That's what they do. That's what they do. But I mean, that's sad, but that's what they do. We could spend all year on that and wouldn't get us anywhere. Okay. Verse 6. That he said he revealed to his holy prophets that the Gentiles... Now here's the mystery. He reveals it right here. He says that the Gentiles be or are or exist fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel or the good news. That is the good news. There's the mystery right there revealed. Everybody's there. How many people do you think have heard that truth? How many people has heard that truth?
Well, they may have heard the words, but not understood.
But they never heard it. They never heard it. They words vibrated off their eardrums, and they heard the word. Everybody's going to hear it. Everybody's going to be partakers of it. But it didn't sink in. They have no comprehension. And that's what that word was before. You could comprehend what this mystery is. Everybody can't comprehend those words. Look at you like a deer in the headlights. Like they don't know what you're talking about. How could that possibly be? And they will say, well, I'm saved and they're not saved. How could they possibly be? You know, they don't understand the mystery, do they? It's not a mystery when your eyes are open, your ears are open. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. Now, when we see that word minister, what's the first thing you think about?
Preachers.
But that ain't what it's talking about. Because that word is diakonos, it's a servant. I was made a servant according to the gift of the grace of God. I was made a servant. See, everybody thinks that's a place of position of hierarchy. No. The greatest among you should be your servant. See what I'm saying? It's not about being above everybody, it's being the servant of the people. That's the purpose of giving us this, so we can serve the rest of humanity.
Yeah, but that doesn't have a high esteem.
Well, I understand that, but that's just the way it is. In their natural understanding, they believe that, see? But he was made a servant according to the gift of the grace of God given to him by the not effectual, but by the working of his power or miraculous power. He said, by all those miraculous powers, he gave him to show him that he was working through him. And he says in verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, or should say, literally, to me, the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach and literally announce good news among, right? Among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The words unsearchable there literally means cannot be searched out or revealed. It can't be revealed because they don't have the capacity to see what's been revealed.
The Amplified says no human can search it out.
That's a good rendering of it, good understanding of it. It's just like saying, okay, I've got all this stuff out here that's hidden from everybody, and I have a sheet laying over top of it, a cloth laying over top of it, no one can see it. And they walk a couple blind people up there and say, we're going to show you this. Pull the back of the sheet, and what do you see? Nothing different, because I'm still blind. See? And that's what he's saying. They don't have the capacity to see it, do they? It can't be revealed. It can't be searched out. It's not by intellect from the natural mind to figure these things out. If you can see something, then bless God, you saw it because the Spirit of God opened it up to you. It's not up to our intellect. If it was about that, then that would mean to me, if you could do it by your intellect, that would mean all smart people get to go with God and everybody else don't get to. And that would mean a whole lot of people wouldn't go.
Anyway, so.
Right. But that's the way they see it, if they think they're smart enough. And I've known several ministries that they were extremely intelligent, way, 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 way beyond where I ever dreamed to be in the natural. But they don't understand anything about God. All they know is facts and figures. They can quote things, but they don't know God. They don't listen to God. They just do whatever their mind tells them. And they think every word that comes through their mind is straight from the throne of God. And believe me, they weren't. And they're still not, I'm sure. Too much pride involved in them. Okay, verse 9. And to make all men... Whoa. To make who?
All
men?
Mine just says all see.
Yeah, well, it says men in King James, but it shouldn't be there. It should be all, just like yours is saying. To make all see what is the fellowship or the stewardship. See, that fellowship there is the same thing, stewardship, like it was up there a while ago. The fellowship or the stewardship of the mystery. So you'd have control over it. The mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, not world, but ages, has been hid in God who created all through Jesus Christ. Now, when he created all through Jesus Christ, everybody thinks that one man, Jesus, went around creating the whole world. He didn't. Because we created that world.
Elohim.
The Yahweh Elohim created it all. The many-membered body of Christ. And again, most people don't see that, but it's okay. It's still the truth, and got to say it what it is. Maybe someday they'll pick up a thread of that and run with it. Verse 10, it says, to the intent, now that's the purpose, okay? Or in order that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places or in the realm of the Spirit, cross out that next word, King James, might, but to the intent or in order that now the principalities and powers in the spirit realm be known through what? What are they known through? Through the church, the ecclesia, the called out. See, those people that he has given this gift to see and hear now, this is how the rest of the world, the principalities and powers, everybody's going to see what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. But they're going to see it in you. They're not going to see it out there in a building or an organization. They're going to see it in individual people, helping people, serving people. It's not about who can gather the biggest crowds, get the most money. It's whose lives can you change? How many lives can you change for the positive? How many can you change?
That's about four. Maybe change one, that one changes another.
Yeah. But that's not your place. Your place is to change. See? My place is to change as many as I can. What they do with it, that's not my call. That's still up to them and God, isn't it? And if they choose to waste what I gave them, so be it. And I know many of them have took what I've given them and threw it in the garbage and went on back in religion. That's their business. None of my concern. Because you can't hurt the gospel, you can't hurt the Spirit of God. Can you? All you can do is obey it or disobey. My choice is this. I can't disobey.
How does that line up with not casting your pearls before swine?
Well, you know, when you know there's somebody that's not going to hear anything, you should be functioning in something called discernment. And when you know it's not there, you just don't say anything and just go on. See? Many times I've wanted to. You know, my flesh wanted to. I wanted to say something, but it just wasn't my time. It wasn't time to talk to them people. Either I wasn't ready or they weren't ready. The best thing to do, not to do it. And I advise people this. Once you know the truth, and I got another quote from another man that I really appreciate. I like to read these quotes from older people from way back, and they say things that's very in-depth. And he says, the truth is the new hate speech. And you speak truth, people hate you for it. They think you're being nasty and mean when you tell the truth, because it doesn't jive with the way they think. And there's another piece to that. I think I wrote it down, stuck it in my wallet. Because I thought it was worthwhile knowing. Yes, I did. During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Where do we live? In times of deceit. In a universal deceit. Off with I finished 10 there? No, I'm not finished with 10. Okay. Where it comes up to be known through the church, the ecclesia, the called out, the manifold. The word manifold, do you know what that means?
Multiply.
What?
Multiply.
Well, it could mean many, like the first part of the word many, but it speaks of diverse or much verified, and even sometimes conflicting things. You know, even in God there's positive and negative, just like there is in us, right? So sometimes it seems conflicting, but when you get down to it, you realize that the positive and the negative makes the circle, doesn't it? Makes the loop. You got to have them both. And it says, according to So it'll be known, this manifold wisdom of God, according to the what? It'll be known according to what?
The purpose of God.
It says the eternal, or literally the word is aeonian, the ageless or timeless purpose. And that word purpose is a unique word too. It's prosthesis. It means showbread. Okay? So the eternal, ageless purpose or showing which he purposed or made, the word there purposed means something totally different, different word, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this eternal purpose he put in him to set forth the show. Jesus was the showbread. Didn't he say, I am the bread that came down from above? Mm-hmm. See, he was that showbread. What was it made to be done with the showbread? Offered to God, but the priest would take it, you know, and eat it too. So, didn't he say later that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood?
Yeah.
Eat the bread. You know, that showbread, you know, that they took. That was for us to take it. And we become, what you eat is what you become. And when we partake of Christ, what do we become?
Christ-like.
So it's that simple. I know it's not simple to some, but that's as simple as you can make it. When we partake of him and eat his flesh and drink his blood, which is spiritually, not literally eating someone's body, guess what? I had a man say one time, a well-known man, all over the world, a universal traveler of the world right now. And he said Jesus was not the sacrifice because the Jews didn't eat his body and drink his blood physically. I think he missed that one. Anyway, we're not going to get on the bandwagon of beating anybody up. He just made a mistake. He missed something. Or God didn't show him what's that. Whatever. Verse 12. In whom we have what? Boldness. The disciples said once to Jesus, increase our boldness. When have we ever seen anybody teaching such boldness as you? You don't teach like the scribes and Pharisees. Well, thank God somebody don't, huh? But guess what that word literally means in boldness? It means a freedom in speaking without figures. You can speak plainly. Just tell it what it is. You don't have to speak with the symbols and signs and all that stuff, the metaphors. You can just tell them what it is. And isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to make it plain. We're trying to get away from the symbols that the word means this, but here's what it literally means. If a tree speaks of humanity, then let's just put the humanity in there.
Would that be just simplifying it?
Absolutely. You're just telling it without the signs and symbols. Remember what he told in the Gospels when the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in parables? Because it's for the children of the kingdom to understand, the rest of them not yet. See? But when there's a time come now, Jesus was talking still under the law, wasn't he? Now the law is gone. Now it's time to open up and tell them the truth. But everybody would prefer to stay under the law because they have no responsibility. It's the priest's responsibility to get things done. Well, I got news for you. Priestly order's over. Now it's the Melchizedek. The Aaronic priesthood is over. It's dead. It's time for the Melchizedek. Each one of us. We got to do some stuff ourselves. Okay, we're going to leave off there. We have boldness and access in confidence through faith of who? Him or who's him? Christ, right? By the faith of Christ. And what does it say in the Old Testament about the just shall live by
his faith?
His faith, see? No, it's not our faith, it's his faith. You hear people saying, oh, I have faith. Well, I don't believe them.
Only what you've been given.
Well, but I don't believe it by the way they live their lives. They don't have faith. They're acting like they have something special, and it's a gift that he would give, you know, so they don't act like they have any faith. If you have faith, would it say you were faithful or full of faith? Would that go together? But when you see people that's not faithful, how could you believe that they were full of faith? Now, what I'm saying, you just look at, I'm not saying judge anybody to condemn them, but I'm saying I can see, and so can you, can't you? If they're faithful, you know it. If they're not, you know it. And you don't have to beat anybody up about it, but you can just see it for your own benefit. What'd you say, dear?
They, like you said about having the eyes to see.
Yep.
They didn't see the fullness of the faith.
No. They just see what someone told. They heard what someone said, and they thought it was a cute little saying. Like you see on the marquees, all these little cute sayings everything. They don't know what they're saying, but they sound cute.
Yeah.
You know, like, CHCH, what's missing? You are. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, that really changes everything. No,
yeah.
That's just condemnation and guilt. Come on.
You are.
Never saw that one?
No.
No.
I've seen that.
It's an acrostic at the church that says CHCH with two blanks in there and says, what's missing? You are, you know.
And I add by choice.
Yeah. And no condemnation, right? Okay. 13. Wherefore, I desire, and literally the word says, I ask you. It doesn't say a desire. I ask that you faint not or grow weak not in my tribulations or my distress or pressures. The Greek word philipsis there. It's speaking about pressures and distress. He said, I ask that you faint not. Don't grow weary over what I'm going through. Okay? Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. The book says in Romans, if God calls you, He equips you. Don't worry. You can't fail. Come on. See, knowing this lets you have the boldness and the confidence we just talked about to do what you got to do because you can't fail. God can't fail. And everybody will say, well, but yeah, but you can't. No, I can't. Not if God called me. I have no way of failing. It's impossible. I understand. I cannot fail. So how could I fail? They can talk all they want, but they can't convince me I'm going to fail because I know better. That's the confidence he's talking about. He's not talking about an arrogance. He's talking about a confidence of knowing. When you know, and most people don't know the difference between confidence and arrogance. And because of their lack of understanding, they'll probably call you arrogant. So what? What somebody thinks about you is none of your business, is it? That's their thinking. Do you know what your father thinks about you? What else matters? See? If you know your father loves you, what else you got to worry about? You're all right. If he wants you changed, I guarantee you, you will change. If he doesn't want you changed, you're okay right where you're at. Perfect. Right? If it's where he wants you, you're in perfect place. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He just saying to his Father and our Father, right? Of whom, or from out of whom, the whole family, or the whole genealogy, okay, in heaven and earth, in the spirit realm and the natural realm, is named. If we're all named from the same family, then the same nature is there buried under a lot of dirt in a lot of places. But it's still the same, isn't it?
Your name's Christ, everybody else's
name. Yeah. We're children of God, whether we're obedient or disobedient, the only two classifications God has. And He never says, I'm going to punish you if you're disobedient. You will reap what you sow. That's what the book says. And God's not into punishment. Never was. That's the way people think, so they think God should be like them. And the book says we're supposed to put on the mind of Christ and be like Him, but everybody tries to make God like them. In Psalms, I think 76 or 77, it says that the Jewish people tried to shape the Holy One of Israel. Literally, the language says in Hebrew that they tried to make Him form the form like they were. They tried to shape Him. Well, that's what they're doing today. And every denomination has their own view on who He is, don't they?
Every individual.
And they have it because of some religious denomination. Somebody just wandering down the street has never heard the Word of God out in the mountains somewhere, never heard about God. He doesn't have any form of what he thinks God looks like. That's why he might set up and worship a rock or a tree or a bird or... Right?
He's got it closer.
And he's probably got it closer, but still... That's why they're going to worship something, because that's a part of them. That thing in there desiring to worship something, knowing there's something greater than they are in themselves. But what they don't realize is that greater out there is also within them. And that's what they haven't seen. They haven't learned that the greatness that they're looking for, external, is already internal. It's our purpose is to find it. And once we find that purpose of who we are, you won't have any problem of doing what you're supposed to do. It'll just be so natural. When a dog finds out they can bark, what do they start doing? You can't stop them from barking then. They'll do what's natural for them. And when you find out who you are, you'll just be who you be. You don't have to worry about trying to be something. If it's trying to be something, isn't that working and trying to earn something? I'm trying to earn myself into being a son of God? I have no choice in being a son of God. When I was conceived, I was a son of God. Ben was conceived a son, wasn't he? End of the story. What do you worry about? Their children were born, and they who they are, who they are, because the Father had something to say about it, didn't he? That's the way it is. They have no say in the matter. They are who they are because of the Father. And look at verse 16. In order that He would grant or give to you according to the riches of His glory. He said He did it according, so He could give, in order that He could give you something. He revealed this all to you so He could give you something, His glory. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit. And here's the big key. Strengthened with His might, not in your muscles and bones, but where?
In your spirit.
In the inner man. Everything's going on inside. This whole book is an internal book. Because you are God internally, not externally. It has nothing to do with this out here. It's just a vessel to carry you through the journey. But it's all about what's going on inside of you. And when you get a hold of that, know who you are, know who your Father is, you know these details we've talked about this morning, you've got no pressure no more. You can look at people and laugh at them. I had a lady this week that cussed me out. You wouldn't believe it. I've never said a crossword to that woman in my life. I mean, I've always been very respectful to her. I thought highly of her. She's a lady that cleaned my vehicles for 10 or 15 years. And all of a sudden, I called her about an appointment. She said, yes, that's this time. Went over there. Well, she wasn't there. So I called her cell number. And she said, well, I'm tied up a little bit. I'll be back such and such some time. And all of a sudden, guess what? I'm not there, but I'll be done at this time. And I'll call you and you can meet me and I'll go ahead and take care of it. Well, she never called. So the next day, I went over to her place. And I said, well, I figured you'd get me in this morning. She said, well, I can't right now. So I can't get you till 3 o'clock. I said, okay. Well, we already had one yesterday, you know, and then soon we had a second time, and we didn't. She said, 3 o'clock. I said, I'll be back a little before 3. Well, I came back a little before 3. Man, she come out just roaring on me. Move that thing out of here. I got things to do. You can't. I got somebody else in here. I said, I'm here because you gave me an appointment at 3 o'clock. It's 10 till 3. And she said, I've got a big job here. I've got to do this and wax this and do other things. And started cussing. Said, I ain't going to blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to say all the words that she used. And I'm going to call the police if you don't get out of here right now. I never said a word to her about anything. I said, hey, I've been your customer for years and I've never given you any flack about anything. And I don't want to hear it. I ain't going to take nothing off of you. No, you get out here. I'm going to call the police. She picked up her phone like she was dialing the phone. I said, well, I'll tell you this. You don't have to worry about me anymore because I'll never be back. Bye. Then I hear she did that to some other people. I mean, I don't know what she's going through, but I don't need to put up with that. I didn't do anything to her. Just, I called her on her. She was lying to me and she knew I knew it. Okay. The other job was more money for her than mine. That'll change people's lives, won't it? They have money. Oh well, that's what happens. And he said he gave it to you in the inner man, right? Look at verse 17. In order that Christ dwell in your hearts, your minds, through faith. Being rooted, and that word rooted literally is talking about being stable and grounded or established in love. If you have the mind of Christ, what would you have? you would be love personified, wouldn't you? He didn't have love. He was love. Doesn't the book say God is love? Not going to be or someday or was or anything. It said He is. So, guess what? If you have this mind of Christ in you, you get it all settled in you, who you are in love, you're going to be fine. Verse 18, and ground in love, and then the next part should say, able to or being entirely able to, entirely competent, I should say, to possess, not comprehend, but to possess with all saints what is the breadth, the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, in order that you be what? The language right here actually says crammed full. Crammed full.
Overflowing.
With the fullness of God. Want everything God has and just crammed in you to what's running out. He said that's what it's all about. Just being full. That the love of God just overflows. Verse 20. Now to Him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that not works in us, but that is active in us. See? It is active. Wouldn't that be a present tense? It is active. It's presently right now in us. To Him, that's the one that's active in us, to Him be glory in the church or the ecclesia, that's the called out ones, through Christ Jesus, throughout or into all generations, age, it says world without end, or through the age, throughout the age of ages, amen, so be it. And with that word, He sealed it. He said, that's what it is. There is no more. If you could get that little passage right there, what should happen to your life?
It'll change.
Just that little passage right there, just little tiny 21 verses, will change your entire life. He said, so be it. That's it.
That's
sustainable. It's sealed. If you just understand some of these simplest, most simple things, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. It's not about intellect. Who's the smartest or the fastest or got the most money or any of this stuff the world worries about. Just understand who you are, who your Father is, and be confident in that, and be free to speak boldly and openly what you have. Don't be afraid of nobody because they can't hurt you. Fear is what? False evidence appearing real. They can't hurt you. If God doesn't want them to hurt you, they can't touch you. There was a man who came in here a long time ago. I don't know how many years it's been. Remember that guy was from the, like the ones in Florida we knew? Concordant people. And he was going to hit me. At that time, Big Phil and Larry were here. Larry, the two big boys. I mean, between two of them, you're looking at
600 plus.
Oh, more than that. They were both in excess of four. And so you're looking at half a ton standing there.
They were going to make a sandwich.
And he drew his fist back like he was going to hit me just because I said I was the Son of God. And like,
wasn't what a crucified Jesus.
And I said, boys, leave him alone. If God wants him to knock me out, let him knock me out. You know, it's no big deal. And so he finally said something about that. And I said, he said, what he tried to say was this whole book is literal. And that's what the Concordant Literal Organization believes in. Someone told him that, so they believe in it. And I said, well, how do you justify where Paul said when he died, we died with him, and when he was buried, we were buried with him, and when he was resurrected, we were resurrected in him. And he said, well, that's one of them things. And I said, one of them things? I said, what thing? He said, you know, one of them things. I said, yeah, I know, but do you know what it is? And he kept going, he couldn't say the word. And I said, it was a metaphor. That's what it was a metaphor. Isn't that an oxymoron to say that this is literal and say that was a metaphor? Because a metaphor is symbolism, and
you can't have
literal and metaphor at the same time. So, you know, he, bless his heart, he was messed up. I mean, that's just because he believed what someone told him.
And he kept coming back.
He came back for a while.
They're picking and choosing what they can, which part is what. It's what they're doing. What floats their boat, basically. You know?
Pretty amazing.
And say that, what is it, at the end of Judges, with, how does it say that? Where are they, if they basically doing their own thing.
Oh, there was no king in the land, so they did it. Every man did what was right in his own eyes.
Yeah. I couldn't quite remember exactly how it's.
That was, about.
Is that the last of Judges or something right before Ruth? It's been a while, but.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember. Oops, I didn't put that in there yet. I'm glad I seen that.
I had to go back and look. I think that's all there is to it. I don't have a perfect memory, so.
No. I do, but I just don't remember all I know yet.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to refresh it.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, turn it off.
Okay. Was that in the Judges?
I think it was.
Yes.
Wondering about the last verse
again.
I'm thinking.
Could be mistaken. I'll tell you in a minute.
Give me a little bit of
a
thing.
I'll everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no king in the land.
No king in their own land?
No king in the land. The land. I got it right now. Found it. It's the last verse of Judges 21. It's right before you go into the book of Ruth. It said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
You said it right before Ruth.
I said right there, last of Judges. Ruth. Yep. I couldn't remember the verse, how exactly it went. I knew the context. So.
Yep.
That's the main part, though.
Main thing. Main thing is keep the main thing.
Right? And just memorize what King James is not the way to do.
No.